If any of you do the Liturgy of the Hours, you might have noticed last Sunday after evening prayer, there was just simple rubric that said, this ends the Easter season. And so with that evening prayer, that whole long celebration of Easter was ended. Monday, we donned the green vestments of ordinary time, because that's what we entered into. But we don't do that for a couple of the Sundays following the completion of the Easter season. We have a few celebrations that we have before we move into the green vestment. Today we have Trinity Sunday, and next Sunday we have what we used to call Corpus Christi, or the Feast of the Body and Blood of Christ. But even this celebration today, last Sunday's Gospel at the very end, Jesus sort of gives us a bit of a segue into this particular Sunday, because these are the words that we hear in John's Gospel. I have told you this while I am with you. The Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I told you. And so here it is, Jesus getting his disciples ready, talking about the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in the name of Jesus. And so he's getting us ready, if you will, for this particular celebration. And this is one of the biggies, if you will, of the church. And if you go back and you read your Catechism of the Catholic Church, it talks about the mystery of the Trinity. And it says, the mystery of the Holy Trinity is the central mystery of Christian life and faith. It is the mystery of God in himself. It is therefore the source of all other mysteries of the faith, the light that enlightens them. This is important. It is the most fundamental and essential teaching in the hierarchy of the truths of faith. So in that hierarchy of faith, this is the most fundamental and the most essential article of faith. Our God is one, yet there are three persons. And if you would continue reading in the Catechism, you would find out that you'd probably be just as confused as I am. I've been preaching on this now for a little over 40 years, and I still can honestly not say that I know more about the Trinity today than I did when I was in the seminary, because it's still a mystery. And the great, great theologians in the history of the church, whether you're talking about Paul, whether you're talking about Augustine or Thomas Aquinas or Karl Rahner or any of those theologians, always struggled with that mystery of the Trinity. How can there be one God, yet three persons? And as I said, the church tells us that it is an absolutely essential item of faith. Because what do we say when we say the creed? I believe in one God. But then we go on to say the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And you can get into this in a very, very complicated way. In fact, if you read in the Baltimore, in this catechism, Pope Paul VI wrote an encyclical in which he talked about the fact that the church had to invent a language to talk about the Trinity, because none exists. I mean, we still don't know what would we name God. We say God is love, but really that doesn't do justice to God, because he is so far above and beyond our ability to comprehend that we don't have a language that we can use to talk about God or the Trinity. I mean, so we use things like transubstantiation, transfinalization, spirate, I mean, all of these fancy words. But it really doesn't necessarily get us any closer to understanding the mystery of the Trinity. And yet, this feast comes at a very, very opportune time, because as I said last week, it was just like Jesus was giving us this segue that says, well, the Father will send the Advocate or the Holy Spirit in my name. And so when we talk about that idea of unity and yet three persons, that's the history of our salvation. There is only one God. And God's purpose was to save his people. But each and every one of the persons of the Trinity did what was basically important to their task. I mean, and we look at it and we profess it. What does the Father do? The Father creates. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. We believe in one God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. What does the Son do? The Son redeems. And the Spirit sanctifies. And all three of those are important elements of the history of salvation, but they did not do it apart from the other persons of the Trinity. Because when you listen to Jesus, what does he always say? You know, I'm not here to say what I want to say. I'm here what the Father gave me to say. And this whole thing all starts with, you know, the proverbial John 3:16. God so loved the world that he sent his only Son. And when John uses the word God, he's always referring to the Father. And so this whole process of the history of salvation for us begins with the Father. He took the initiative. But if the Son had come, even if the Father took the initiative, and the Son had not, in obedience to the Father, been willing to go for the cross, we wouldn't be saved. But that's what the Son does. The Son redeems. And time again, what did Jesus say? I'm here to do what the Father wants me to do. It is not, I don't speak what I want to speak. I speak what the Father gave me. And yet, if it all had all ended with simply the death and resurrection of Jesus, we wouldn't be here today. Because with the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, that third person of the Trinity, that was essentially the birth of the church. And which is precisely what our gospel was talking about today. I am with you always until the end of time. It was the fulfillment of that promise. The Holy Spirit is the presence of God, that triune God, dwelling in our midst today. And without that gift of the Holy Spirit, there would be no church. The church, we would not be here today. The history of salvation would have essentially been interrupted. Oh, the Father would have loved us enough to send his Son. The Son would have loved us enough to die for us. But then what? Jesus said, no, that's not good enough. I will be with you always until the end of time. This grace, this whole idea of salvation is memorialized in the Eucharist. Because when God remembers, it is. And it gets a little bit complicated when you're dealing with God and time. But when God thinks something, it is. When he remembers, it is. And so next week we're going to celebrate what? The Feast of Corpus Christi. And when you listen to the Eucharistic prayer, there's this wonderful sequence of things that takes place. Jesus said, well, the Father will send the Advocate in my name. This weekend, what do we celebrate? The Feast of the Holy Trinity. The absolutely essential core of our faith. And next week, we celebrate the Body and Blood of Christ. But even in that, when you listen to all of the Eucharistic prayers, it's all the same way. We ask the Father to send the Holy Spirit to make this bread and wine into the body and blood of Christ. It is a Trinitarian celebration. It's a Trinitarian celebration, just as we are people of the Trinity. And can it get complicated? It most certainly can. But in one sense, just as we look over the recent history, it tells us something important about the Trinity. Are there three persons? Yes, there are. And they do what is proper to their role. They create, they redeem, and they sanctify. But one without the other two is of no use. We need all three. We need all three. We need the creation, the redemption, and the sanctification. We need the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And way too often in life, you know, we say, or we begin our prayers and everything with the sign of the cross. And as I've said many, many times, when we do things often enough, they get to be rote. We don't even remember what we're doing. And it wouldn't be interesting sometime if I started out the celebration, said, in the name of the Father and of the Son, and stopped. And you'd instinctively, wait a second, whoa, 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 something's missing. That's only two. I thought there were three persons. Because we need all three. And so you can go back in the catechism and, you know, if you want to, fine. You can read all sorts of things from the, you know, the patristics, from the great saints of the church. But ultimately, they all admit the Trinity is a mystery. But even as we look over this history of salvation, from that first Sunday of Advent to the completion on Pentecost, it's about the Father that creates. It's about the Son that redeems. It's about the Spirit that sanctifies. And we don't need just one. We need all three persons of that Trinity to make our salvation present here in the world today.